There's a place where I can sit, just me, myself, and I, on my pond.
On my pond.
On my pond.
That actually ties in great to the segue. The questions I wanted to get to in this segment, we're talking with Paul Holdeman of the Pond Gnome and Greg Peterson, who was the one that said, you know, it's been a while since you guys had ponds. We should do ponds again, and brought us to this this topic today. I'm going to steal a term from him, stacking functions. What are all the functions you could stack in a pond? What about, you'd mentioned fish. Are these koi, or can I put like some, which, if you're on the desert floor, we're obviously too hot for trout, but could you put in some catfish?
Yeah, people do keep catfish in their ponds. They'll also keep, a couple of my favorite fish outside of koi, and I will tell you over half the ponds we put in end up with either koi or decorative goldfish of some kind in them. But we definitely have clients that have put in game fish ponds. They'll keep kind of pets in their ponds where they fish for them or play with them with barbless hooks. And bream is probably the number one recommendation from me, which is known here as bluegill. But the industry calls them bream still for the most part. But bluegill, shell crackers, which is another type of bream, which are two very popular ones. I've had people keep largemouth bass in their ponds, which they're king of the pond. If you've got them, they're going to eat whatever they can fit in their mouth.
Hence large mouth.
yeah, right. Exactly.
How big of a pond would we need to put in at the office so our annual catfish boil, po' boy, Gary and I can go back there and catch enough catfish to make po' boys for the whole office?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
That tends to be a long conversation. How many, and what are your goals as far as water clarity, and what are your goals as far as outside of the catfish? But, you know, I wouldn't put in anything smaller than, say, a 20 by 20 by 4 foot deep to put catfish in.
That's honestly smaller than I was thinking I would need.
Yeah, and you can raise maybe a dozen to 20 nice-sized catfish in a body of water that size.
And the thing is, shell crackers, they get pretty big.
They can. They get huge, up to 4 pounds, I think. Ooh. 4 pounds something is the record.
What about other pets? You'd mentioned earlier, you know, a few of them, turtles, snakes. You lost me at snake, but frogs and snails and turtles.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo. I love all reptiles, including snakes. So
I couldn't sell that one to the family. I could sell turtles and frogs, but I couldn't sell them on the snake.
So frogs are my favorite. I have a population of lowland leopard frogs living on my property.
Which your Kermit intro is what tied in perfectly, because I had that for this.
But industry-wide, turtles are probably the favorite, probably the most popular outside of fish. And in fact, I belong to he calls it a tribe of certified contractors in my field that our fearless leader, I always joke, he got into the industry because of his love for turtles. And that's how he started the whole craze in backyard water gardens.
Now, I would think you would want frogs to help with the mosquitoes.
Frogs definitely help with mosquitoes, but dragonflies and a little organism called Gambusia affinis is our number one defense against mosquito problems. And in fact, a couple of the top entomologists I interviewed years ago at the University of Arizona said, I'll give you a quote from one of them, Don Gouge, who said, a healthy pond full of hungry fish is your number one mosquito defense mechanism that you can put in your garden. And that is way and above electric zappers, which are indiscriminate and kill everything that flies around at night. And a lot of the insects that fly around at night are beneficial. So bug zappers are only minimally effective because all the bugs that eat mosquitoes are being zapped in there too. Whereas in a pond, mosquito larvae are the favorite food of a little organism called Gambusia, which people know as mosquito minnows.
So I hadn't thought of this until you mentioned it, but talking about pets and ponds and the wildlife, will will this attract bats because of the nighttime and the insects? Do you end up with a lot of pond owners that now have bats in the neighborhood?
We've got some pond owners in the Cave Creek area that say the bats are skimming on their pond all night long. It's amazing to watch. So we'll actually light their pond so that they can watch the activity. And bats tend to drink in motion, so you got to build a pond. If you want bats around, then you got to build the pond big enough that the bats can strafe it for their water. And
how cool. That's and, cool.
And we're not going to get to it, but I wanted to talk in stacking functions, you know, working the pond into gardens as, and, you know, part of gardening. Every gardener will tell you bat guano is gold.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know, it just you're creating a whole regenerative ecosystem and in a pond system, which darn clock.
There's the music.
Hang tight. We're gonna
the pond gnome. The pond gnome. We gotta give his phone number out.
At some point.
Do you know it?
623-572-5607.
You can't believe how many times we tell somebody to give your phone number and like they freeze up. I know my website with my phone number. You want me to remember a phone number?